This is looks like a sex orgy, Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Ice Cream Man, Gadfly.
This is Who's Minding the Head, Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
Unsafe Radio.
Fellow inmates. Tonight we're going to talk about a 1967 American crime comedy film directed by Howard Morris. And this movie is called Who's Minding the Mint? And it's about a group of people who break into the treasury and to print up some money. It's a kind of a farcical comedy, slapstick. It's quite silly. So the plot is about this guy named Harry who works at the Bureau of Engraving, and he has a woman who admires him, Verna, and she tries to woo him by giving these packages of fudge, which tend to be really terrible. And he doesn't really want to get involved with her. Yeah, doesn't want to get involved with her. There's a subplot of his boss. He kind of sees him getting into a limousine one time and begins suspecting that this guy's like stealing, because Harry's a guy who lives beyond his means because he's relying on free trials. Like, I'm trying out this fleet of limousines. He's like a con man. He stays in an apartment on a trial basis and then moves from place to place. He's very kind of superficial and doesn't believe in a kind of a commitment. He just wants to kind of live now and not worry about things. So his boss is skeptical and thinking, how is he living beyond these means? An accounting of his books, and they're all perfect, and he still keeps an eye on them. But
in a very 60s ways, I might add, though.
Yeah, it's a total, total late 60s. The vibe is great because, is at that. Harry accidentally drops $50,000 unbeknownst to him, because he scooped up some fudge into a bag and was dumping it out in his garbage disposal and realizes, oh, fuck, I've got to print $50,000 or else I'm going to go to jail. He creates this elaborate plot. It starts off very simply, but becomes this enormously congested kind of protracted group of misfits who all want a little piece of the pie and to break into the mint and print themselves $1 million each. Didn't start that way, but it eventually becomes that way through greed. And then comedy ensues. Now, earlier Dr. Tard asked me why I picked this movie, and I will tell you, I remember watching this movie for the very first time with one of my cousins. It came on after probably Big Chuck and Houlihan Big Chuck, and I was probably 8 or 9 or 10 and just enjoyed it watching with him. The silliness of it was a great farce, and I had not seen it for decades, and I kind of came back to what was that movie called? I'm gonna try to find it. And I watched it again. I'm like, it's kind of still fun. I love the cast. I mean, we got a tremendous cast of co-stars. I mean, we got Jim Hutton and then Walter Brennan and Milton Berle, Joey Bishop, Bob Denver, Victor Buono, Jack Gilford. Jamie Farr.
Dorothy Provine.
Yes. Dorothy Provine. I will leave it at that, and I will kind of turn it over to you. Dr. Tar, what do you think about Who's Minding the Mint?
It was reminding me of like a Disney. Disney had like a spat of movies like this. It was like
Where's Our Dinosaur?
Where's Our Dinosaur? Apple Dumpling, Gang.
That was a Western.
Gone Saucy and it was so weird. I guess I'm just looking back on this, just the way they portrayed a lot of this stuff was that, you go through like classical slapstick stuff. And all of a sudden you get to, like when they're watching them, when they're practicing loading the money,
Mm-hmm.
And they're going about, and the couple upstairs are like, it's a sex orgy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's like watching The Love God, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Here's Don Knotts on high. Yeah, like, all of a sudden, he's like hitting women and shooting period. People. Like, what it's the what? What? Yeah.
It's Ocean's 11 gone really bad or whatever.
I mean, it definitely has the look of a Disney film, but with the mores, we totally have this kind of free swinging, sexy lifestyle. Yes. This guy's single and these women are hitting on him. And there's a difference between like dinner and din din. Din din is a complete meal. We all know what that means. And that's right. So there's definitely those 60s sensibilities are at play.
It was just funny watching the two kind of. Aesthetic of humor butting up against each other, you know, they tried to be all mm-hmm. saucy, but then he would turn around and do just total, you know, slapstick comedy. That was
because there is a lot of
comedy
that,
yeah
there's a lot of that slapstick, a lot of that screwball comedy absurd kind of comedy, right?
Little Men in the Boat.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Victor Buono plays this guy who's like a sea captain, but working at a amusement park kind of thing with a small fare rides, and he can build a craft or build a ship, but it's got to fit down a manhole because that's how they have to get into.
Of course, it has to fit through a manhole.
That's how they have to get in. Yes, Dr. Tar. Okay, Midnight Gadfly. What your initial thoughts on Who's Minding the Mint?
Yeah, this movie is not for me. it was all I could see were like a lot of technical issues and a lot of like timing issues, and that's why I thought the slapstick and everything was not funny. And they would just do these things where the guy would point his thumb like this and then hold it there, you know, while he continues to talk to people, you know, and just all this kind of exaggerated stuff that I just was not. It's just not my kind of thing. I think the difference between that and The Love God is the timing, and that I think What's-His-Face, Don Knotts, is actually funny. I don't find any of these people
what?
Funny, you know.
Walter Brennan, with my dog that's pregnant?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the only part that I liked, was that he lined the dog box with the money, you know, and gave birth but on.
Did everybody notice that he stuffed him in a box that was so small? There's no way that dog was going to birth those puppies.
Right. Yeah.
Puppies are small.
Oh, my gosh. Look, clearly.
Less room. You don't need as much room for the dog when the puppies come out.
Maybe she was marsupial.
Yeah, as I said, I didn't like it. As a matter of fact, most of it I was hitting the forward, you know.
So you missed all the plot. It.
No, you didn't. I didn't miss anything.
Oh, Professor Feather.
He's been waiting for this. All right, okay.
Because of my highly regarded friendship with you, Dr. Head. I watched this entire movie.
That's it? That's your complete review?
Yes.
Enough said.
Yes. Just know my gated way of saying this under a hushed breath. Well, thank you for your sacrifice, both of you.
Well, I mean, I could go into why I didn't like it.
That's fine.
It's TV. It's pure fucking TV. God damn. Look who the director is. Yeah. Ernest T. Bass from
Bag?
What? From
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith, thank you. Mm-hmm. He has a veritable plethora of credits, directorial credits for TV shows. But a lot of them, they're like one-offs.
Was it Green Acres?
It was tons. I don't know. I just saw it. I looked at the list and went, oh, yeah. And he did a couple movies in there, you know. But I thought it was just pure television. It looked like TV. It looked like a television production. And, you talk about all the characters. Joey Bishop, Jamie Farr. And
doesn't say a word.
It was like a smaller
No, he does say words later on.
That's right, he does later toward the end, right, with the police.
And he actually impressed me with his flow of Italian. That impressed me. I didn't think, because early on they talked like you know, real short sentences, the two of them. That's true. I went, you know, oh, Jesus. But then at the end, they're actually talking, or later on, they're actually talking. I will give that one tick on the positive side. Because everything else I thought was just way overhanded. No, and as so Gadfly said, the timing was so bad. There's, you know, and... It was just so pure burlesque. I mean, you know, I guess that's why I just didn't.
And
like
it was even that funny. But I guess there was a lot of, at the time though, it's like almost like, didn't they have like a lot of saucy adult comedies that like were treading in about the same area in this,
in like, know? Flint and stuff like that. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. Being trying, yeah. Yeah. Trying no. to.
Yeah. It was Disney Edge.
Yes.
Disney's edging me. Yeah, oh, come on. Give me that Frozen head.
That whole scene.
That's not ice on your head.
With the people up in the window watching them practicing. Right. And the little kid comes up, it looks like a sex orgy. Yeah. Yeah. And the dad like,
I mean, got to give kudos to Gilligan for keeping it all night.
Oh, fuck yeah. The only time you get to see Gilligan being
probably the only good part of the movie.
Was her guilt when they started saying, you need to repent. Yeah.
Yes.
I actually smiled. Oh, God, I did smile in this movie once.
Okay, there you go.
So I had asked.
And before the credits were over. Right, before the credits
came. She was in
several episodes of Annie Griffin.
No, horror of...
She was in
Little Shop of Horror.
Little Shop of Horror. She's Audrey.
Yeah, she's Audrey.
And she's also in Andy Griffith, and she plays in an episode opposite. Of,
and she plays like the same character
of Ernest T. Bass, where they kind of they're trying to do the whole where they're trying to make Ernest a gentleman, and so they show up at this party, and they kind of hit it off.
Yes, that's
which
right.
is great because right. I love her as Audrey. I just think she's really funny. She kind of plays the same kind of character.
Yeah,
and that kind of sweet, naive
character. She plays a cute character. I mean, because
she's really hitting on Gilligan, you know, who's an ice cream guy, and he's just kind of oblivious to it. Like, you know.
Well, I was asking Professor Feather, I was like, is he putting this on by having us watch this movie? Is this a lark? Or is this something that he watched with his grandmother? But I was close.
It was nostalgia.
It's
pure nostalgia. It
wasn't, I was
going
to say, kudos to you, Gadfly.
Yes.
I was close. His cousin, not grandma.
It was close. You're right. It was
right.
Close.
No, you're totally right.
I know, that's okay.
Just like, that's why I love. Right.
That's fine.
Ghost of Mr. Chicken so much. Fine. It's for me. That's rooted in with my grandma. This one's rooted in that's my times me. With my cousin because it was like on the weekends we'd watch Houlihan Big Chuck or Big Chuck and Little John. You know, and it's just part of that time, and it's kind of frozen in place for me. I mean, I could totally see how cheap the sets look and how flat they look and how much like TV, how badly lit it is. I get it, and I get the silliness.
Oh,
but I think everyone leans into their characters, like Victor Buono. Like he's great as King Tut. I love him as King Tut, and he's a serious actor. He's a really good actor.
This is all in that same time period, you know?
Right. Yes. And that's like when I see him, like, oh, that's King Tut. And as a kid, I even knew, like, because that's where I first saw him.
Yeah.
And the Batman series, like, oh, that's King Tut.
But serial killer movie, The Strangler. Mm-hmm. Is that him?
I love that, you know, Milton Berle. He's just, you know, Mr. Comedy.
Milton Berle.
Smoking his cigars. And I'm like, oh, I always like when I see one, I'm like, oh,
and had absolutely nothing to do with anything in this movie.
No, but he got free cigars. And that's probably what is like,
wait
in
a
my contract.
Wait, let me talk. Here's a thing I did. Question while I watch. What the fuck was those big fucking fat green things he was smoking? Are
Candela
cigars?
Yeah, that's the wrapper. The size is probably a
Plantains.
Churchill.
That's the wrapper.
The wrapper
color
is green.
Smoke that though?
Okay. Of course. Yeah, the Candela is a green wrapper, and it's the leaves are
and
cut
it was all
before
flower.
The chlorophyll is aged out, and so they're cured. They're cured green, so it gives like a grassy, bitter quality a little bit to the leaf. So there's also the shade, which is a Connecticut shade, where the leaves are actually grown under like a cheesecloth, like a shade, and the light is diffused, so the leaves don't get really super dark. They're often very soft and tender, and then you have a you know, other types of leaves like Oscuro or Maduro, which are fermented extra long, so they take extra, they get extra dark, and those impart often a nutty kind of quality. So, and next time on Dr. Head's
Cigar way better podcast. Discussion than this whole movie.
I did like Victor Buono like sinking the first ship, and then the way he swam back like on his back like an otter or whatever.
Yeah,
and then he comes back with the stuff from the amusement park, and I'm like, all right,
park, right.
That was clever. The other clever thing I thought was when Milton Berle had to hide as George Washington in the with the other statues, which they set that up way ahead of time, which I thought, okay, well, they did something film like.
Yeah,
it's a film like movie.
Well, that's
film adjacent.
That's why I said that. You know, the whole that. Talking about pop culture and that whole realm at that particular time, you know, and what's his name? I can't remember Ernest's real name.
Howard Morris.
Yeah, Howard Morris. I mean, you know, there was like this whole network of people, obviously, throughout, you know, and how they got that all organized and everything. I just think it just looked, I don't know, it was just so cheesy. But and I didn't like any of the actors. So that was another problem. I just don't like any of them as actors.
Okay.
I didn't think any of them were any good. I thought Jim Hutton, man, just horrible. I think he's just horrible. And Dorothy Provine, she was cringeable.
She's not. Yeah, they,
what's his name? And they were all caricatures of themselves.
Yeah,
you know, and that's which I find interesting from a popular cultural standpoint. Well, you know,
right.
how that all kind of plays out. You know,
a lot of them were cartoon voices too.
And the music was animated. Pure fucking cartoon.
Yeah. Yes.
Lalo Schifrin.
Mm-hmm.
As I commented to my other half, because I made her watch like three minutes of it. And yeah, I said, pay attention to the music. I said, that's cartoon. Yeah, that's cartoon music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's total.
It's really, you could look at it from that point. It's a visual cartoon, you know, a live action cartoon, which is kind of what if you think about it.
It is.
Fuck,
farcical.
This is a brilliant movie.
No,
I love
not
this
at all.
Movie.
Yeah. No, it's farcical. But I can't separate it from my 8 or 10 year old self.
Yeah.
And that's going into it. And I had no idea if had you seen it before or not. Yeah. And so I'm like, it's just enjoyable for me for that sake. I can totally see all the glares that you're talking about. Right. The timing things. And I like the ridiculousness of it, especially when they're trying to get the dog, you know, the dog like crawls under where the guard sits. They got an hour to print all this money. The guard's sitting down and the dog's like between his legs and the guy's like pulling the carpet out, you know? and I like seeing Milton Berle as the,
I was laughing,
you know, as George Washington, you know? Yeah. I just thought all of it's silly, you know.
Well, and at the end, they're all in scuba diving, and Milton Berle's down there with his cigar while he's scuba diving.
I mean, exactly. It's absurd. You would expect that in a cartoon, you know. It would
exactly.
Because that's part of who he
is. It is.
Once he did show up in Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was one of the guest stars.
Right. So I always look at, when I look at movies anymore, because I do like enjoy cigars, I always think, I wonder what cigar that is, you know. And I'm imagining
good to know because I'd never seen that a green cigar like that before.
Candelas were wildly popular in the 60s.
He would be right in there because he was always a big cigar smoker.
Yes, exactly. Kennedy smoked Candelas. They were the cigar wrapper of choice in the 60s. And the night or day or so before the Cuban embargo, Kennedy got like 50 boxes of his favorite Cuban cigars. So I'm like, well, packing to the left isn't so bad now, is it? That's what you get. But it got replaced for a while, like in the 90s, early 2000s, like Maduro was a really popular. So now the trends in cigars tend to be fuller bodied, like really full bodied cigars. That's kind of the.
Well, can't you get Cubans? Cubans now?
You can get Cubans
like
now,
but
75% chance of you when you buy a Cuban cigar, it's probably counterfeit, unless you're going to Cuba and getting them. So there's a wild, huge market for. for fake Cuban cigars. And
so
and
they should say
I've had I've had like four or five Cuban cigars. One was the best cigar I ever had in my life, and the rest were either mediocre, and one was like the worst cigar I ever had. And I think that one was I got that Niagara Falls. That was definitely a fake one. But the best one, that was great. It was a Romeo and Julieta. It was a Churchill. Oh my God, that was just started off with like taste of like leather, and then it got into like a black cherry, and then like sweet spice and black pepper. Oh yeah, that was.
Look how high he is. He's getting. He's in his mind.
I'm tasting it. I smoked that for an hour.
I think awesome. we should write a movie about. Cigar counterfeiters.
Who's minding the cigar? That's good.
Who's minding the wooden Indian?
Oh, who's rolling the leaves? Yeah.
So, like, I like to do research. Like, I try to find out, like, on the Addams Family, you know, Gomez is always smoking.
Yeah.
And I found that through smoking, after a while, who plays Addams? John Astin.
Yeah.
He got so sick of it. That's why you don't see him, because he was in it like 8 hours a day. You know, he has to have something lit and often puffing away. And after a while, he just got so tired of it. But they were Marsh Wheelings, I think. Just a simple machine-made cigar, nothing fancy. I always like to try to find out the kind of cigars they smoke.
But they look good.
Yeah, so they look good. That's great. You know, as a kid, I still loved Addams Family, you know, and now.
Oh, no, they were the big cigar. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the other one? George, the little Burns. Guy. Burns. Yeah, George Burns. What did he smoke?
He smoked a variety of cigars. I think I forget his cigar of choice.
It was. I knew I'd get you. Stoked.
No, I don't remember. A lot of them would smoke the Cubans, like Dunhills or, you know, things like that that are harder to get. But some, like Smoker, the cheaper end of cigar, but I don't know what he smoked. But he outlived his doctors, and he lived about 101 or something like that. Yep. And smoked a dozen cigars a day.
How about Mark Twain?
Mark Twain said he went out of his way to buy the cheapest cigars possible because he said he loved the offensive smoke, and it drove people away. And he would smoke 10 to 15 cigars a day while he wrote in his bed. He would write by hand. Yes. All of his manuscripts were handwritten, but he said he purposely found the ones that were most vile smoking.
Yeah,
to piss hilarious. People off. I'm like, oh, yeah. God damn it, Mark Twain, that's why you are all my right. favorite American so, writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no kidding. I had to.
Yeah, it's just a satirist. Like,
yes,
he's just like,
yes, yes.
To the world, everybody.
Apparently, Dr. Carr is not going to change his flower right now, so.
No, it's good. I okay. I know, I like it.
Why wasn't who's minding the mint was based on a Mark Twain story, right?
Yeah, who's minding the Mississippi?
It was King Arthur, a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. It was a spoof on that, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
They both had brownies.
That's right. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I do appreciate that you actually watched the movie, even though you didn't like it, and that's okay. We have all watched movies that.
Well, it's you have to, and you also have to realize, Dr. Head, how deep this friendship goes because it was
commercials.
On Tubi.
It's commercials.
It was on Tubi. Yes.
Really? Wow. Well. You know, I'm honored.
Well,
and just know the love
seem
is
to be
mutual.
Like,
okay.
It's in there right
I'll
now.
I'll bring an extra bag of edibles for you.
It's like, our choices are kind of,
I'll find something a little more contemporary for my next pick, or find another topic.
Oh, contemporary doesn't make any difference.
Because if you do that, I might not be able to watch
anything. Anything. No, this was good. I mean, this was, you know.
Well, you know, on heavy metal horror, we've got something planned, and I kind of wanted to do it first here, but it would require a lot of movie viewing. We wanted to do a discussion of Toho's non-Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
That would be an awful lot of fun. Yeah. There's like 16 that I have written down.
Really? 16
of them? Yeah. So we're going to break it into two episodes, like eight at a time.
Oh, no. You've seen a lot of them. I know
you probably have. No, probably have.
Yeah. H-Man, Human Vapor, Matango.
Oh, yeah. H-Man.
You know,
I told you about my experiences with H-Man at the theater. Yeah.
Didn't you get the little sponge?
Yeah. I saw the Mysterians.
That's what I really
like. Right. There's all kinds of good stuff.
Those Mysterians at the time was one of my favorite movies when it came out.
It's a gorgeous
film. I love that movie. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a fun movie.
Yeah. Well, Matango. Matango.
I was pretty
great.
Young.
Matango.
Yeah. Matango.
Terrified yeah. me.
Matango is actually creepy. Yes. 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 We did a podcast on Matango.
Yeah. It's still creepy. It's still it's a really thinking, effective movie.
What if we did like Mr. Magoo and Matango? So it'd be like
Mr. Matango?
Mr. Matango. I don't know. But anyway, it would have like Mr. Magoo's face on Matango's body.
All right.
Short-sighted.
Just a thought.
Yeah. A nearsighted spore.
Dr. Tarr?
A nearsighted spore. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah,
come like, on. If I can't express in front of you guys. Oh, wait a second. Here, let me stand
like
up.
It. No, I, Mr. Matango, I'm all for it. You know, Mr. Matango.
Mr. Matango, there you go.
That's Mr. Matango. I can't see
it's
how
it's a big
high
fungus, humanoid fungus thing running into everything.
Oh.
I can't see, god damn it.
But anyway, yes. I
yeah, Milton Berle.
Milton Berle. No, I like the cigars. I have never been a fan of Joey Bishop. I don't know. I've never heard anything he done funny. Yeah. I know he was part of the Rat Pack. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I don't know what you've done.
Apparently.
Okay. All right. I like Walter Brennan, but I'm almost expecting to hear him like in a Western. You know, it's that's, you know, because that's where
the real McCoys.
The real McCoys, right. Yeah.
Or Ogden, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just
wasn't he in the what's the one Humphrey Bogart movie?
What, Walter Brennan?
Yeah. The Key Largo.
Oh. Okay, I've never. I've never actually seen Key Largo.
He was a good actor. I think he's in a lot of stuff.
Something about a bee sting. Something about a bee sting. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember exactly.
Key Largo. But anyway, I think it was like him and
Edward G. Robinson.
Lionel Barrymore.
We should have them in a remake. Who's buying the Mets? See? Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
And
you
want to
get 50 G's from me? The boys are going to beat it out of you.
What'd you say? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the ending of the movie is, you know, they print all this money and then, you know, then it gets accidentally, because they're trusting in Jamie Farr's character to unload from this ice cream truck, and they're all celebrating, and Farr's
and
character
Jamie
mistake
Farr.
Mistakes the other who was it, he mistakes him for police. These guys show up and garbage collectors, and then they dump the boxes of the money on the garbage boat, and it just all gets dumped.
No.
You know, and you're like, oh, but the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, everyone's the generous and give us the $50,000. So it all ends well, and they're still scouring.
And there happens to be $50,000 in the bank.
Perfectly, the box. And it's not all covered in goo.
And it's not all covered in goo. And
puppy goo.
And then she had to have that bag of fudge.
Of brownies. Right,
fudge. No, not brownies,
not
Dr.
Brownies,
High.
Dr. High.
Fudge.
Oh, fudge.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound as good, pot fudge.
That's right. I will make you the best fucking peanut butter fudge you've ever had in your life. Yes.
Will it have pot in it?
I'll have pot
is
on
that,
top of
is that
it.
Code for something?
That would be, it would then be, it would then be pot peanut butter fudge. Or peanut butter pot fudge.
Yeah, that's that might be good. But the recipe's in the back of the book, you know, the Christmas.
Thank you,
book.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. 1967
came out. Yeah. So hey, you know,
I remember
no,
it well.
A
I
lot
probably
of
saw.
Were...
I probably saw almost every American-made movie that was made in 1967. I'll bet you I saw at the time because I was big into seeing a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I know. I saw this.
There was
on
a time
TV,
I would see anything.
That's
know,
why I thought it was a TV movie, but it is not a TV movie.
No, it is not a TV movie. No,
there's a lot of movies
considered.
It was not a hit. But then trivia. They used like $300,000 in real money in the movie. A comic book came out. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a hit.
Yeah.
No, this
people
like
said,
I
it,
said.
Was, it was a farce, yeah. And they kind of likened it to It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
That's another really bad
that's
movie.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. And that's another one my grandma loved.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I like that one. I really do. Like
I do because of the stars. It's just amazing. It's the stars are all there. Everybody's there. It has a cameo for a minute.
Yeah, and pretty much. That's true. Yeah. Of the time.
But like a who's who. And it's such a long movie, but then you know it's like, oh,
except Jefferson Airplane wasn't
it. 6 minutes of credits. I'm like, dudes, come on, man. Really? I was like fast forwarding through like, Jesus Christ, how many, 6 minutes. It's like, look, you're in for 3 hours. You can take 6 minutes of credits.
If Cannonball Run comes on, I'll watch it. You know what I mean? Like, that's another one that's just the same thing.
Same fucking thing.
Oh, and it's worth watching just for the outtakes, because the outtakes are the funniest part at the end.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I like seeing the outtakes that they've finally come out now, like from like Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
Oh, no. I love that. To me, I really like the
see how much fun they had on those
Warner Brother outtakes someone captured or whatever. And really, those are funny. I thought
that I think just Gene Wilder is just so good.
Don't they, History of the World Part 1, don't they have the outtakes at the end of that one?
I don't know.
I think so, because I remember the one where they have, they're testing if they're all eunuchs, and Gregory Hines' feather goes up. It kept going up and falling over. That's not my problem.
I've really appreciated outtakes because the association with you guys and just what we do,
mm-hmm.
and holy fuck. And then just applying that to any other movie that I see and they see outtakes, and it's just like,
that's why I always put outtakes at the end of my movies, because I like seeing them. I laugh when I'm watching, I'm editing, and when other people who are like break up and everyone's laughing, and I think that's like the best moments. Anyway. Everyone's laughing, we're having a good time. No, I do like that. I like seeing that.
I do too.
Yeah.
All right, we passed the 30-minute mark. Hey,
okay, well,
that was a good show.
Not too bad, with half of us hating it. Not too bad. We were able to fill it.
No,
like
that's all right.
I didn't hate it. I just feel better when it's not around.
Just stole the line.
I know. Sorry.
Well, my heart is filled with appreciation for the sacrifices you have made in watching my turd of a movie. No, it's not a turd. It's got to be in the right frame of mind. And for me, it's pure nostalgia.
Never make fun of Ghost and Mr. Chicken again.
Yeah, and I love Ghost and Mr. Chicken. But for a lot of the same reasons, because that was a grandma movie. So.
Oh, no, I do too.
Yeah, we should do a whole show. Of course, she also liked Child's Play. You know, well, that Chucky, he's got real pretty eyes, but he gets awful mean. Like, yes, he does, Grandma. He does get awful mean.
Yeah, that's great.
We'd watch The Descent, and she's like, don't go in the cave, girls. Don't go in that cave. And like, they're down there, they're getting trapped. I told them girls not to go in the cave. Oh, yeah,
God, Grandma. Damn it, Grandma.
Man. She loved it. So, The Mist. She loved The Mist. She loved the Evil Dead. You know, all that gore and blood.
Crazy.
She loved it. Yeah, she loved it all. It was great. But her humor, though, was in the more the farcical, like the Ghost of Mr. Chicken, but also Gone Fishing with Danny Glover and Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep on waiting for Joe Pesci just to pull out a gun and shoot somebody at any time, even no matter what he's in now after Goodfellas. But that's a complete, like, that's like Laurel and Hardy, like, you know, farcical, Three Stooges, slapstick, vaudeville, all those kinds of things. It's a complete silly comedy.
It's like Ace Ventura. You know what I mean? Ace Ventura wouldn't be anything if it weren't for Jim Carrey. If somebody else was doing that part, you'd be like, this is the dumbest fucking movie I've ever seen.
It's probably true. Yeah, it's
right. Yeah. What did you think of the Three Stooges?
I love the Three Stooges.
Everybody but Joe.
after Shemp, they had the two Curly Joe and Joe Rita. There was the one who was really whiny all the time. I hated him. He didn't work out because they didn't like him either. Didn't want to ever get hit with a pie. Didn't want to get messy. I'm like, what the fuck are you being a stooge for, man?
Pussy.
You know? For the pussy.
Translated as pussy anyway. So.
Oh, okay. It was his neck, I think.
I think we've had this conversation.
Tara, what were you saying?
No, I'm talking about, actually, I was talking about the movie. when they did the whole
the Three Stooges remake. as the characters.
Yes, the remake.
You know, I think it was a good attempt. I mean, it's hard for me to see someone else playing these characters. But I thought they did a pretty good job of it. You know,
which one? Because there's two of them. Because there's the one with Will Sasso playing Curly, right? Will Sasso is awesome. And then there's Michael Chiklis is the other one, right?
Yep.
Playing Curly, yeah.
Yep.
Which is the one
Sasso.
Jersey Mo. It's like on Jersey Shores, but it was Mo.
I just saw one. And it was basically they kind of had to, it was like an episode where they had to do something. It was and save an orphanage or something like that. You know, they were making money. This one had one of a supermodel, some blonde supermodel in it. I forget.
And they had to go through the.
I don't remember much about it. I watched it. Like, okay.
Were they holding all the babies and they're all peeing on each other?
It might be the one. but it was like, it was okay. But I love the Stooges and I just want to watch them. Lauren Hardy, same way.
Yeah, I saw both of those movies and have totally forgotten them.
Yeah.
Like totally forgotten how they were. I really have. I just,
because
I didn't care.
I know. I just thought of them when we were talking about Stooges.
I like that they tried. Though. I mean, I could tell they were really trying.
They were really good. Some of the times their action stuff were good. But
when you try to extend it into a full length movie, that just doesn't work. It never falls flat.
It falls flat. Like the Laurel and Hardy movies, like there's the one, Sons of the Desert works because it's not that long and it feels like an extended short.
Yeah.
You know, they can develop the story, they can continue the gag, you know. And I do like the Three Stooges movies. Maybe we could do an episode on that. We'll just
I know this is so bad, but I liked Three Stooges in Orbit.
Yeah.
The one with the Martians.
Right. Yeah, we could let's do a show. That'll be my next one. My next one will be
fucking bad.
We'll do all the Three Stooges
movies. All the Three Stooges movies?
Okay. Yeah, Round the World in 80 Days, Have Rocket Will Travel, In Orbit, and like Meet Hercules.
Yeah, Meet Hercules.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't like that one. It's like, I don't care.
Well, anyway,
If they had just cast Stephen Wright as Larry,
Larry
would have been great. That would have been.
Hey Mo, Curly's got something for you.
I got some powdered water. What do I do with it?
That's right.
That's one of his jokes. I like that.
Yes. My friend is a DJ. Oh,
that's good.
He works
that's
on the
a good
radio.
Astronaut when joke
we,
anyway.
When we drive under a bridge, you can't hear him talk. Yeah, he's great. He's great. So anyway, who's minding the mint?
Oh yeah, back to that.
Here's the movie we started
talking
about. It
wasn't so fresh.
Yes, my mint. I need a breath mint. Who's minding my breath mints? Yeah, if you want something that's silly and farcical, and you may only enjoy half
reminiscent
time or baked, that's great.
Watch Cannonball Run.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess embrace your inner nostalgia.
Watch In Like Flint.
Yeah. You know, I liked the Flint movie. I forget which one it was.
It was the one
where they wake him up with the device that comes out of his watch and hits his wrist.
Yeah.
I remember watching that one and I liked it as a kid and I watched it as an adult. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, they're horrible.
This is terrible.
I saw him at the drive in.
Saw a few minutes of him anyway at the drive in.
A few minutes, Now I was a movie buff, so there's times that the movie took precedence. Let me tell you.
Well, it's because he had a newborn at home. He's just like, on. I got to get the fuck out of here.
Time, that's true.
Yeah, I got some movies to watch. I'll be back next week. Yeah. I'm on a movie tour.
And that was the last day.
Driving to the West Coast.
All right, are we out of here?
Yeah. Who's minding the mint? Watch it or don't.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Oh, yeah.
And you have been experiencing...
And we're not so fresh.
Oh. InsaneRadio.com. I'm spent.
TarandFeatherPsychoCinema.com.
Oh, yes.
And you can see Tar and Feather on YouTube.
That's true.
As they're releasing more and more selected shorts.
Oh, we're releasing.
Speaking of releasing shorts, in my shorts, heavy metal and horror are on the the Facebooks and the YouTube Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. Montag Lewis is on Instagram. We got some really great shows coming up. And we just finished our last episode of the season, our interview with Little John, which was phenomenal. We had such a good time. The show is almost 2 hours long. And oh, God, it was a blast. Awesome. Yeah.
That's very cool.
And WeFreaks, WeFreeks, family-friendly webcomic on Facebook, written by our own dear Blue Fez, Sean Boise.
Bong.
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 And Gadfly will be recovering from his
intestinal fortitude problem.
Yes. They are waiting. Something's going on at the fort. I think it's being sieged.
I borrowed a pair of pants just so I didn't ship mine.
You just got buckets all over the house. Everywhere's the bathroom when you got a bucket.
No, I've got the lifetime supply of Mampers, remember? The adult diaper.
I just have a shop back nearby. I just hope I get it right. You know, let's get in there, man.
It better be a wet bag.
I can take
That's what I was going to say. It's wet. Yeah.
Oh, wet bag. Yeah, wet bag. Yeah,
It's because of me they invented the flap in the back called the backsplash.
Nope. Mud flaps.